Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's our favorite day of the week, Tuesday. I'm your host, Makisha Clayton Lee. You know, I'm a certified life coach. I'll start off with appreciating my listeners who tune in every week. I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for leaving your comments. And also, all the shows are archived from day one all the way up to today's episode. So again, I appreciate your time because I know time is very important. Very important commodity, so I appreciate your time. You know, this platform was created to be a listening ear and a safe place where you can dump off your problems and pick up some solutions. My thing is, there's greatness on the inside of each and every one of us. This month, we're doing Black Authors Matters. I will be interviewing Black authors. They will be coming on and telling you information about their books. They will be giving you, telling you where you can purchase these books from. And they also will be inspiring you for the people who want to be an author and how they need to begin and how to start. So they'll kind of give you some inspiration of how to start and where to start. So tonight I have a beautiful queen, and I'm so super excited. When I talked to her, we connected, is super amazing. You know, my favorite quote, do not despise small beginnings, because, you know, just because it starts small doesn't mean it's going to stay small. You can pray, your prayer and vision and execution, that small thing can develop into something amazing. Again, tonight I have a beautiful queen, and let me read you a little bit about her bio, from her bio. Pretty amazing. All right. This is her bio. Her name is Andretta R. She is an award-winning, sought-out poet, spoken word artist, an actress, a native of New York, who was born and raised in the Bronx, New York. She received her bachelor's degree in media studies from Hunter College and a certification in radio and television broadcasting from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Andretta has always maintained a deep love, personal expression, and the truth. Her experience as a young, divorced woman of faith and a mother led her to ultimately share her testimony through her writing. Andretta is known for wearing many hats. She is the author of Grace Through Insanity, The Struggle of a Holy Woman, and my one that I want her to talk about the most today, Don't Punch Your Boss in the Face, How to Effectively Work with Difficult People. Andretta is a commercial real estate professional, a licensed real estate in New York and in Georgia. She's a Northern Republic and a licensed travel agent from intotravel.com. Honey, she got many hats. She ain't lying. Her favorite motto is, life on earth is more than a gift. It's an assignment. The only way to fulfill it is to know why you're called. Ooh, girl, you hit it right there. I love that. Let's give her a warm welcome to Andretta. Yay, yay. Are you there?
Oh, wow. Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I'm so pumped.
Thank you, Makisha,
so
for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You know, we've been talking, and I appreciate you so much for your time. You know, like I said, I want to respect your time, but if we go over, that's fine, because we're going to get some stuff out today, honey. We're going to get some stuff out today. So,
yes, absolutely.
First of all,
I just want to tell you, we family, because you call me Andretta, yes, or Andretta like my dad. I'm like, no, you know, my father, don't throw no way, because if my father can't get it right, I understand, you know what I'm saying? But no, it's Andretta Chapman, but it's fine, but my friends call me Andy, so at this point, I think we're friends, so you can call me Andy. No,
I practice and everything.
I know people for years that still can't get it right, so I understand it. You know, we just recently met, but I no, but I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Yes. Thank you so much. So say it one more time for me. Andrette. Andrette. That's right,
it's
right? Andrette.
Mm-hmm. It's Andrette, but you can call me Andy. Uh-huh. If you can call me Andy.
Andy the author.
That's it, baby girl.
I love it.
That's it.
So, Miss Andy, so tell me
yes.
What inspired you to, like, write? What gave you the juice that, you know, I see that you went to broadcasting school. You have a degree in media. So is that, when did this start? Like, when you were younger? Like, give me the juice on that.
Oh, my gosh. I've been writing since I was about maybe 12 years old. You know, backdrop story real quick. I went to a youth service at my church growing up. We had a pastor from a prison that came to deliver a word at one of our youth services, and he prayed for my hands, and he told me that I was going to be a writer. He said, "You're going to write."
Wow.
And so, not thinking of anything about it over the years, I was like, man, I am writing. And I remember when that man prayed for me, you know. So I just think it was an impartation that I had no choice but to go with. And long story short, here I am today. I'm still writing. I have more books in me. I'm actually working on a special project right now and a novel that I'm working on. So, you know, both are writing things that I'm doing. So, you know, I just have a gift that I have to use, you know. And like
That's
my
it.
Motto goes, you know, you can't, if you don't understand your purpose and you don't know why you called, it's hard for you to find peace, you know. So you got to operate in your calling, you got to operate in your gifts in order to find peace. So even though, you know, my job may stress me out and I go through things in life, when I'm able to operate in my gift, if I can get to a pen and paper, that's when I'm the most relaxed, because I'm doing what I'm called
good.
To do. I'm doing what. Yeah. So I think everybody has to find their assignment, find why they're called, which leads me to don't punch your boss in the face. So,
you know, I was waiting for that one.
I know. And I asked who that is because you was talking about that, too. You was like, please, let's talk about don't punch your boss in the face. So,
you know, that sometimes you have that moment. Like, literally, you really have that moment that you say, Lord, I know I need this job. You better hold me back or hold them back. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so when I
God.
Saw that, that thing was real. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell
I was
you.
Like, girl, tell me.
Let me tell you, if you are going through on your job, if you are stressed beyond stress, if you are working from home during COVID, and you have to deal with children with digital learning plus work, this is the book you need to get. If you're going into the office and you can't stand what it is that you do, if you can't stand your boss or your coworkers, this is the book for you. This book is based on my personal experience. Of course, some of the characters were embellished or, you know, disguised to protect people's identities to get my point across, but I was going to tell that story,
right.
Okay? You know,
if
you're guilty, you shouldn't have done it, okay? If you didn't want to be in a book, you should have acted accordingly, okay?
Okay, I get it, girl.
So,
that got me hyped.
You know, it's a testimonial. And, you know, I have chapters that talk about the ultimate suck-up, how to deal with people on a job that will really kiss the bosses behind and get to the top while stepping on everyone, including you. Yeah, I talk about new employee hazing. When you started on a job as a newbie, it's like going to a new school, okay? Yes. And in that particular chapter, I talk about everyone that's your color ain't necessarily your kind. So don't get too happy when you see someone who looks like you and assume that they box like you. Yeah. So, I love
you in
book.
There.
I enjoy writing it. Mm-hmm. Yep. I talk about
Where can we get it from?
Yes, please. I encourage readers to go to my website, andytheauthor.com, for this book.
Okay.
Andytheauthor.com. But if you want the ebook, you can go to Amazon. So I have paperback and ebook on Amazon, but I always encourage people to come to my website. You know, the royalties are a little bit more,
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
but,
girl,
you know,
I get it. I got you.
Yeah. Do whatever you feel safe.
Revenue.
Please go to my website first.
Get you some revenue. I got it, baby girl.
Yeah. So,
ooh,
you know, this
good.
Is one
that's
of my
good.
Favorite books. Mm-hmm. I talk about
okay.
the truth behind human resources. When they say it's confidential.
That they're not your... That it's not your human?
Yeah.
It's not for you? Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Human resources, when they say it's confidential, that's like
yes.
talking to the cops in an interrogation room. Like,
oh,
you know, it's confidential.
Goodness.
Okay, you go ahead and believe that.
Yes.
I talk about, one of the reasons why I wrote the book is chapter one. It's called The Witch of Midtown. The Witch of Midtown is similar to the movie The Devil Wears Prada. So if you ever seen
Whoa.
The movie The Devil Wears Prada, I actually
yes.
worked for someone that was similar to that lady in every way.
Oh.
Yes.
Girl, you have to
I
bring your oil. You would have to bring your oil for that type of lady. Huh? I'd be like,
let me tell you.
Like, why my desk so slippery?
Yes. And so with her, I was told when I got hired, and no one has worked for her longer than 7 months. I worked with her for 3.5 years before I got transferred to another location. So I made it, and I had to. It was a testing period for me. I've grown so much working with her. Now that when I work with anyone else, no matter what their personality is like or their attitude is like, I can deal with it. I was trained by the best, the Witch of Midtown. That's where I learned not to allow personality to affect my goals. And my goal is I need money. I have an objective. I'm working on this project. And so I'm not going to allow you to force me to quit. If you don't want me here, you're going to have to fire me. Okay? So I turned that experience into a sport. I knew as long as I was doing my job and I was doing it correctly and I was being professional, her attitude was all on her. It was all on her. So she had to adjust to me. I said good morning, I said good night, and I did my work. So, you know, but she made me want to punch her in the face because she was so nasty and indignant to me one day where I almost snapped. Because you do work with people who are just that belligerent. You do work with people who take their title to the next level because all they have is a title on the job. Outside of work, who are they? So they take their position of authority and they use that as a tool of manipulation to their employees. You know someone needs their job, so why be nasty to them? You don't know what people are dealing with when they leave the office. So I make it a practice as a person in position of authority to treat everyone equally. The janitor, I give the same respect to the janitor as I would the CEO. You know, everyone gets treated equally in accordance to how they treat me. You know, it's about respect.
That's good.
As long as everyone does their job. Right. Yeah. So, you know,
that's
what this book is about. There's no need for people to stress. If you're thinking about quitting your job, read this book before you do. Don't let anyone throw you off course. So that's don't punch your boss in the face. How to effectively work with difficult people. Yep.
Oh my God, I'm buying that book. I'm buying that book because I actually know somebody who's actually facing this as we speak, and their manager just got promoted to a higher position, and she was difficult as an employee, but the organization promoted her to a higher position, and they've called HR so many times in the high up so many times, and nothing has been done. But the HR and all the way up to the top boss knew exactly how this woman was because she moved so many times because of this type of behavior. So it's a pattern, right? And like you said, they know HR is not on your side, right? I mean, no shade to business.
Right.
We understand you have to protect yourself for businesses and make sure you don't get lawsuits and take care of the law and all that stuff. But it's not for you. They're paying them people to protect their brand, their stocks.
Right,
their
exactly.
So
it's not about you.
Yes.
It's not about
you.
They basically just want to make sure you're not bringing no lawsuit. They do enough to pacify you to make sure you're not bringing no lawsuit. and that laws are not being broken. They're not there to deal with personal issues. I don't like this person.
That's
She's
it.
Not talking to me. And they're not there for that. And you honestly, I talk about that in the book. You look foolish when you go to them for issues like that. This person doesn't like me. Never go to HR with personal beliefs unless you have documented facts. You know what I mean? And stuff that are, you know, some form of harassment. If you feel like you're working in a hostile work environment, they take those issues seriously, but be prepared to have proof and evidence that this is taking place because they're going to
and the blowback
to your
too
supervisor
and the blowback too and the blowback, so you have to understand there's going to definitely be some blowback because like you said it's not confidentiality, it's going to be they make for you for to make you feel good, but it's definitely going to travel around to managements and different managers, and they're going to be like, and you wondering why you can't be promoted to go to the next level because they already put your name out here in the street that you're not a great employee, that you start mess. So that's
they have to tell your manager so your manager has a chance to correct your behavior. But every chapter in this book ends with a prayer. So at the end of every chapter, I pray for the reader. And
Good
the reader,
it.
In
Got
return,
it.
Pray for their enemy, too. So you're praying for your supervisor, and you're praying for yourself. Yeah, yeah, and you're praying. Because this book is faith-based, you know. Because of my Christian beliefs, it's faith-based.
Yes.
That's my faith. So I believe life and death is in the power of the tongue. When you're getting ready for work, if you say, oh, I'm tired, I'm going to have a bad day, that's what you will have. If you say, I hate it here, when you step on the job, you're going to feel nothing but misery. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so you have to watch the words that come out of your mouth. And then I'm going to make this point, and I can move on to the other book if you would like me to.
Yes.
So the last point I want to mention is about the supervisor that was just promoted, even though they know that they don't, you know, that she creates a hostile work environment. From my experience being in corporate America all these years, every dog has his day. That's the same. Every dog has his day. It's a law written in the sky. You will reap what you sow. So to your friend
that
who's going through that on the job, that supervisor is going to reap what she sow. I've seen it happen. The Witch of Midtown, when I left the company, about 5 or 6 years later, she was fired. Fired. And I worked for one of the top companies in my industry, the number one. She was fired. That says a lot. Another guy that I worked for, he treated me like a queen, but he treated everyone else terrible. He was with the company for 25 years. When I started working with him, I worked for him for 3 years. After I left, he was escorted out the building by security. He didn't know he was being fired. But he treated me like a queen. I actually liked him. But he was nasty to everybody else. I've witnessed it.
Right.
So,
that's a good point. Yep, that's it. You're right. I was waiting for you to bring it home.
Right. And one thing that's important, when you're doing what you're supposed to do, like the Bible says, vengeance is mine, God will get the revenge. Your job is not to worry about when and where. That's not your job.
Yep, you're right.
Your job is to do your job and go home.
Yep. Yep.
So don't punch a boy in the face.
He says your work is unto the Lord, not to man. So if you're going in there and you're diligently doing your work in excellence and that person has a problem, because I've experienced the same thing too. Well, my manager, she was just so condescending, and she was just like, she thought she was just untouchable, and she got demoted, and now everybody don't even talk to her. But I remember one time going in and putting oil on her desk and praying over her desk. I know it may sound ludicrous to some, but I was like, no, Lord. You see, I've been with this organization over 20-something years. There's no way you brought me this far for me to leave me now. Or if it is, I'm going to need for you to show me what's my next step, you know, what I should be doing, because I shouldn't be miserable because I'm working towards you. I work, my excellence and all this stuff is towards you. You're the one who bring promotion. So I'm getting that book because, like I said, I know somebody personally is going through that. So I'm definitely going to bless them with this book so they can look through it and overcome that situation. All right. Let's switch gears, darling.
Thank you.
Let's talk about, let's talk about this struggles of a holy woman. Grace through insanity, the struggles of a holy woman. Ooh, that's good.
Yes. Thank you. So this book is my baby. This is my heart. Mm-hmm. This is my true talent, which is poetry. So this book is a collage of short stories and poetry based on my personal life experience after a divorce. You know, so it's a testimonial of my experience growing up in church and then marrying a man of the cloth and things go wrong and I'm out here on my own as a divorced young woman when I wrote this book and just trying to find my way. And so I talk about the various relationships I was in. I talk about my heartbreak, you know, so it's an excellent book for women that are experiencing issues with finding love, finding themselves, going through a divorce. It talks about church hurt. I grew up in the church. So if you ever, you know, grew up in the church and you're no longer in church because of church hurt, I talk about all of that in this book. You know, now don't get it twisted. I don't, listen, growing up in church, you know, that's my foundation. I thank God for growing up in church because it kept me out of a lot of mess in my youth.
Right.
You know, it kept me out of a lot of mess. It really protected me. But I see God and I know God in a different way outside of the tradition of faith that I grew up in. So I do believe in the fundamental principles of Christianity. I do believe in God and the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He is my moral compass. Although sometimes I may stray from the past.
Hey, we all come short.
Right. That does not negate from the fact that his word is true and it's still alive today. you know, my actions don't mean God ain't real.
But it is evident,
but it is evident that his grace and mercy still prevails. So that's the beautiful part about this book, Grace Through Insanity, is literally what it says. It is God's grace through insanity and the struggles of a holy woman. You know what I mean? Because of women of God, we have our struggles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah.
And the good thing that I like about it is you said going through. See, the thing about it, I like
through.
That you don't have to camp up. And have you a lazy boy in the midst of it, right? You're going through, and that's what
going
we have to
it.
Realize. You can go through it and still come out champion. Like, you can be that champion and be a testimony. Like, you wrote this book for other women. You know, it wasn't by chance that God just allowed you to just go through this and not have evidence so other women or whoever reads your books can be set free, too, because they probably can have been in that same place or same spot in their lives, and they read your book, and they're like, whoa, I feel so much better. I thought it was just me. Because, you know, the enemy makes it feel like it's just you, that nobody else is going through these type of situations.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to isolate you and make it feel like it's just you. You're the messed up. You're the one who's over here. You know what I'm saying? So when you have that evidence of your book or everything, people will be like, okay, she came through.
Right.
I'm going to be able to
come through.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I love that. I amazingly love that.
It is. And so, you know, when you grow up, like I grew up in church. I grew up in the Lord, and I thought when I got married, that was just going to be it. So I pretty much had my life planned out. I said I would never have children unless I'm married. And so when the course of your life or the, you know, your plans for your life get thrown off track, that's devastating. You know, and divorce is very traumatic. Divorce is like a death because here you have a living person that you constantly see, right? Especially if you have children. You're constantly reminded of what happened. Why did it go wrong? And even though you find out why it went wrong, you know, whatever role you play, it's still like, dang, how could you love somebody so much one day where you're taking vows before God and now you guys borderline hate each other. How does that happen?
Yeah.
And that's scarring, especially when you're trying to move on in relationships. Right. It leaves a scar because you're afraid of the change, you know,
because you remember
how it felt to be so in love, and then it just went bad, you know. So, let me tell you the names of the chapter. So, there's four chapters.
Ooh.
One chapter is rejection. So, I have poetry poems dealing with rejections, right? You know, and one of my favorite poems in this chapter of rejection is "Admit That You Broke My Heart," right? Admit that you broke my heart. And the last book in that chapter is "I Forgive You." That's the last poem in that chapter. Then the second chapter is "Confession." Boy, I confess. And when I say I am candid, I'm giving you raw confessions. It is what it is. I don't care if you judge me. I tell it like it is in confessions. So if you want to know about Andy the author, okay. That is the chapter of my confessions.
Oh my goodness.
Because the only way to heal is through transparency.
Oh,
you can't,
definitely.
If you're not willing to be open and vulnerable, you can't be healed. You know?
Yeah,
so chapter 3 is redemption. You know, I love redemption because this is where I find me, all right? The last chapter is called "It's Complicated." So complicated deals with my political views, and it also deals with some of my relationship choices. You know, my choices on relationships. You know, it's just complicated. Okay, God forgive me. Cross my heart,
It's complicated right now, Jesus. It's complicated
right here, Lord.
I love it because you got four. Four is known for balance, right? So that's amazing that you have four chapters that kind of shows you balance, and you went through each step of the emotions to help you get to balance, even in the complicated stage, right? You have to go through the forgiveness. We have to go through the rejection because nobody wants to be rejected, right? We are through life.
Right.
Rejection is the hardest thing to go through, right? Then you said your number two was forgiveness, right? You have to go through forgiveness in order to have peace. You can't have forgiveness, and forgiveness is more for you than the other person, right? You have to learn how to do that because it's poison that you're inhaling and you're breathing in that poison. And then your chapter 3 was redemption, so you have to learn how to begin again, and I need to redeem myself, and how do I move forward? And even in complications, you still have all three of those other chapters that you have to move forward. Man, girl, you and my I'm popping the vein.
Yes. Oh, my God. And I don't know if I have about maybe two minutes or a minute
you
or so.
Do.
Because
you do.
For some reason, I just feel like I would love to read the I Forgive You poem. So whoever is listening to the show, that they will find peace in their heart to forgive anyone that broke their heart, especially someone that they love, like a husband or a boyfriend, if they're going through heartbreak. I just feel like this poem right here, I would just love to read for the listeners.
Yes.
If I can.
Read it. Yes, you can.
Okay,
yes,
so
please,
I'm so excited. So I Forgive You is on the rejection chapter, chapter 1, I Forgive You, page 25. And it gives the wedding vow at first. I take you to be my lawfully wedded wife, right? That part. And then I go on to say, although you caused me stress with countless sleepless nights, breaking my heart in the worst way, changing the course of my life, I forgive you. For leaving me alone to raise our child on my own, for not giving more than the courts demand, for not doing all that you really can, I forgive you. For lying to me, trying to break me, having me thinking I was going crazy, I forgive you. For forfeiting counseling, choosing your lust over me, causing me to question my beauty, I forgive you. For not taking care of me the way that you promised, for the emotional and mental trauma, I forgive you. For cheating on me over and over again, for your acts of manipulation, I forgive you. for every vacant song that you sang to me, for the gravitational pull of your defeat, I forgive you. For every kiss you've ever given to me, telling me not to worry, not to let my insecurities get the best of me, I forgive you. For lying next to me with your heart somewhere else, for looking into my eyes telling me there was no one else, I forgive you. For every lie, every push, every disappointment, and everything that it took for you to break my heart, I forgive you. That's I forgive you.
Girl,
that's in Grace and Sandy.
Andy, the author, baby girl, you are something good, girl. I'm telling you, I appreciate you so much from the bottom of my heart, taking your time out of your busy schedule to rock with me on the dumping ground. And
I can't wait
to buy this book for my friends so they can be able to sow a seed in their life and also bring you some revenue, because I'm about that revenue and that build.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And I wish you the best. I pray that this show goes far
so
in Jesus' name.
Thank you
for your kind
Thank
heart
you
and generosity
so
for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, you have a blessed night. It was great, Jumping Ground listeners. Until next Tuesday, I'm out.
Thank you so much.